Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you our program, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The episode of Bhajan Classroom you will be listening now was first aired on November 8, 2012 as a live program on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony as part of our Thursday live programs from the studios of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Let us offer our loving and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of the One who is the inner life force of every being, by whose grace we are able to walk and talk, sing and smile. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we may use these gifts of speech and smell, seeing and hearing, singing and listening, only to glorify You and fill ourselves with Your love. Invoking His blessings, dear listeners, let's move on and welcome to another episode of our series, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. And today we will learn a bhajan dedicated to adoring our Lord Sai as the indweller of all beings, as the refuge of the forlorn. The bhajan is in Sanskrit and it has five lines in all. It goes like this.
Antaranga Sai Anath Nath Sai.
So let's get started by first becoming familiar with the lyrics, and then, like always, we will go on to the tune, the raga, the tala, and then the meaning of every line of this bhajan. And finally, we are going to have a short conversation with Mr. M.S. Prakash Rao. He's someone who has been guiding the bhajan movement in the state of Andhra Pradesh for several decades, and currently he is the spiritual coordinator for Sri Sathya Sai Organizations Andhra Pradesh. And he is someone who has been blessed immensely with innumerable interactions with Bhagwan. So we will listen to him towards the end of this program, but for now, let's get started with the lyrics.
Antaranga Sai Anatha Natha Sai Dina Bandhu Sai Karuna Sindhu Sai Rama Krishna Shiva Shakti Prema Rupa Sai Yuga Avatar Baba Shri Satya Sai.
And now let's move on to the interesting phase of learning the tune of this bhajan. Please do listen keenly to Brother Ravi Kumar, who will now sing every line of this bhajan slowly without any musical accompaniment. And when Brother Anirudh follows him after every line, please do try and sing along. You will enjoy it. So here is the tune.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale F Pancham.
Antaranga Sai Anath Nath Sai
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 Dina Bandhu Sai Karuna Sindhu 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 Sai
Antaranga Sai Anath Nath Sai
Antaranga Sai Anath Nath Sai
राम कृष्ण शिव शक्ति प्रेम रूप साई,
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 युगावतार बाबा श्री सत्य 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 साई,
अंतरंग साई अनाथ नाथ साई,
and now for those who are connoisseurs of music, let's try to understand a little more about the composition of this bhajan, and for this my colleague Anirudh is here. Welcome Anirudh to this program.
Sai Ram Bishop brother, thank you.
Can you please Anirudh, please elaborate on the raga on which this bhajan is based? How does it flow?
This bhajan does not belong to any particular raga, but I can say the raga which is closely associated, which is Dvijavanti in Carnatic classical and Jayajavanti in Hindustani music. It is also close to the raga Kapi. The feel of the raga goes like this. One more bhajan which is similar to this mixture of ragas.
Bhaj man shyama sundar giridhari mor mukut pitambar dhari, mor mukut pitambar dhari, भज मन श्याम सुंदर गिरिधारी.
Thank you so much Anirudh, that was so beautiful. So that was the raga, and moving on to the tala, this bhajan like many others is based on the 8-beat Kehrva tal in Hindustani music, which is Adi talam in Carnatic music. And now let's move on to another aspect, the significant aspect of bhava. Bhagwan has often mentioned that he is Bhava Priya, that is one who loves the inner feeling of our hearts, and not Bahya Priya, that is one who looks at external aspects. So let's now try to understand the meaning of every word of this bhajan, because this will help us to sing this bhajan with bhava. We begin with the first line.
Antaranga sai अनाथ नाथ साई,
अंतरंग साई अनाथ नाथ साए।
Antaranga means one who is the indweller. Antaranga Sai thus means Sai who is the resident of all beings in this universe. The third word in this line is Anatha. Now one meaning of this word is orphan. But Baba has also revealed that this word comes from A meaning no and Natha meaning master or ruler. So Baba says Anatha should be used to refer only to the one who has nobody above him. No master or no ruler above him. And who else can this be except the Lord himself? Therefore the phrase Anatha Natha Sai means the Lord who is the refuge of those who have nobody of their own in this world. This is one meaning. But it also means Sai, the Lord who is one without a second. In the 108 names that adore Lord Sai or the Astotra Shatanamavali, there is one that goes like this. Om Shri Sai Anatha Nathaya Namaha. And Professor Kasturi, Baba's biographer, has beautifully elaborated each of these 108 names of the Lord. And for this line, he says, I quote, Anatha means those without a Lord, a master, a guide, a protector, a guardian. They are the orphans, the destitute, the forlorn, the refugees, the exiled, the outcast. For them all, Baba is the guardian, the Natha, the master, the protector. The very first words that Satya Sai Baba spoke when he threw off the paralysis that he had taken upon himself for 8 days in 1963 in order to save a devotee who could not survive it. The first thing that Swami said was, the Lord is the only refuge for the forlorn. I had to take this mortal stroke and save my bhakta. This is one of the tasks for which I have come. Baba insists that no one should be referred to as anatha because all beings are his children and so they have a guardian in him. He never speaks disparagingly of the poor or the illiterate or the deceased or the mutilated and defective. He teaches us all to look upon everyone, however different from us, as the Lord in that form. Hence in this line, Antaranga Sai, Anatha Natha Sai, we call out to Sai as the resident within all beings in this universe. He is also the sole refuge of those in this world who have no one to call their own. He is also the supreme master who has no ruler above him. Let's now move on to the next line.
Deena Bandhu Sai, Karuna Sindhu Sai.
Deena Bandhu Sai, Karuna Sindhu Sai.
The first word here is Deena, which refers to weak or forlorn people. Bandhu, the second word, means friend or relative. So Deena Bandhu Sai is a phrase which extols our Lord Sai as the dearest kinsman of the weak or those in distress. In the book Loving God, Professor Kasturi narrates a very small but very interesting incident that shows how Bhagwan is truly the friend of the destitute. Kasturi sir writes, when Baba is inside the car, he knows kilometers ahead that a blind person or a handicapped beggar is asking for alms from passing cars. So what he does, he equips himself with a fiver or a tenner, rupees 5 or rupees 10, a few minutes earlier and wants the car to be pulled up right in front of the outstretched palm. Realizing that the eyeless, the blind cannot know the value of the bit of paper put in their hands, Baba takes care to tell them, here it is a 5 rupee note, here it is a 10 rupee note, hold it firm. Every gesture of his is a lesson for those who want to watch and witness and learn. Moving on, the fourth word in this line is Karuna, which translates as compassion. The fifth word is Sindhu, which means ocean. So the phrase Karuna Sindhu Sai glorifies Sai as the mighty ocean of compassion. This in fact reminds me of a lovely anecdote that happened in Vrindavan many years ago. One morning, a group of rural folk from North India landed in Vrindavan. It was late in the morning, darshan was over and Swami had retired into his residence. And this group of devotees were very distraught because Bhagwan was no more available. From their clothes and little belongings they carried, it was obvious that they were from very poor backgrounds and they were uneducated. Somehow they had pulled some money to make a pilgrimage trip to some of the temples in south and someone told them to go and see Sai Baba. And now Bhagwan had gone inside and they had to leave in a couple of hours. It was not possible for them to wait till the evening. So what they did, they sat in the Sai Ram shed, crestfallen, and then suddenly there was a murmur
and noise coming from Bhagwan's residence. Swami is coming, Swami is coming was in the air, and Bhagwan did arrive quite unexpectedly. And Ravi Kumar sir, who is currently the warden of the Vrindavan hostel, at that time he was a student, he suddenly brought a pair of slippers and placed it in front of Bhagwan. When he saw that the ground was actually so hot, he thought Swami would be happy to wear slippers. It was almost noon. But Swami simply brushed this offer aside. Sir was very sad, wondering what error did he commit, because Swami generally accepted footwear, especially when he was going out in the sun or, you know, into an area which was not safe to go with bare feet. But Swami was now walking briskly and went straight to this group and spent nearly half an hour with them. He asked for sweets to be distributed to them. He then asked for photographs, again another prasadam, a fruit, and finally he asked all of them to be seated in rows, and now he went around them and started granting padnamaskar to each one of them, walking bare feet all the while on that hot concrete surface, totally unmindful of his inconvenience. The joy of that group, of course, knew no bounds, and Swami too was so joyous. Finally, when he was returning to his residence, after having spent half an hour with them, Bhagwan Sir Ravi Kumar sir was actually very sad. So he called him near and he said, "Listen, Bangaru, do you know why I did not accept the footwear from you? You see, those poor villagers have come all the way from North India and they are not wearing any slippers. Then how can I wear anything?" That is the matchless splendor of his love. So in this line, Deena Bandhu Sai, Karuna Sindhu Sai, we hail Sai as the dearest friend of the weak and forlorn. We glorify him as the vast and infinite ocean of compassion. Let's move on to the next line.
Antaranga Sai, Anathanatha Sai.
Antaranga Sai, Anathanatha Sai.
This is a repeat of the first line of this bhajan, where we describe Lord Sai as the one who resides in all beings. He is indeed the support of all the downtrodden people in this world, who can call nobody but the Lord as their own. He is also the master of masters. We now move on to the penultimate line of this bhajan.
Ramakrishna Shiva Shakti Prema Rupa Sai.
Ramakrishna Shiva Shakti Prema Rupa Sai.
In this line, the first word is Rama, which refers to the advent of the Supreme Consciousness as the matchless avatar of Sri Rama. Rama stood for truth and righteousness, and he lived his whole life as a perfect human being. Bhagwan always tells us, in fact, on one occasion explaining the meaning of the word Rama, Baba said, "In the name Rama, there are three syllables. The letter Ra symbolizes the fire which has the power to destroy the sins committed by man. The letter R connotes the Surya principle, which dispels the darkness of ignorance and confers illumination of wisdom. And Ma represents the Chandrama, the moon principle, which has the powers of cooling the problems and the anxieties of man and conferring peace on man." So Rama has the triple power of destroying sins, conferring peace, and dispelling ignorance. The second word in this line is Krishna. During a discourse delivered during the summer course of 1978 in Vrindavan, Swami elaborated on the inner meaning of this word Krishna, and he said, "Krishna means Krushyate iti Krishnaha. He is the one who will plow the field of your heart and sow good seeds in the form of good thoughts. Karshyate iti Krishnaha. You can think of Krishna like this too, which means Krishna is the one who attracts. He is the one who gives you happiness. That is Krishna." The third word is Shiva. Shiva means auspiciousness. And Shakti refers to Mother Parvati, the divine consort of Lord Shiva. The fifth word is Prema, divine, unselfish, pure love. And Rupa means embodiment or form. So the phrase Prema Rupa means the embodiment of pure, divine love. Rama, Krishna, Shiva, Shakti are just various names attributed to the divine principle who is truly formless. And the best definition of this formless principle, the name that is most apt, which describes him the best, Bhagwan has said, is love. God is nothing but love. He is Prema Rupa, He is Prema Swarupa. So in this line, Ramakrishna, Shiva Shakti, Prema Rupa Sai, we hail Sai, the divine principle who out of his immense love for humanity assumed the form of Lord Rama during the Treta Yuga, Shri Krishna during the Dwapara Yuga. We also hail him as the loving Lord, the one who is both Shiva and Shakti, as Satya Sai. Let's move on to the last line of this bhajan.
Yuga Avatar Baba Shri Satya Sai.
Yuga Avatar Baba Shri Satya Sai.
The first word here is Yuga. Now, according to the Hindu tradition, every era or span of time is called Yuga. Baba explained in detail about the concept of Yuga in a divine discourse during the summer course in Vrindavan in 1978. And this is what he said. The Maharshis, or the great sages of ancient India, divided time into four Yugas called Krita Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Trita Yuga and Kali Yuga. And these keep coming back again and again. In these, the word Krita indicates four times. The word Treta indicates three times. Dwapara signifies two times. And Kali gives us an authoritative unit of measurement, that is the one time. According to them, Baba said, 432,000 years is the basic unit and it represents the number of years in a Kali Yuga. Two times this, or 864,000 years, represents the Dwapara Yuga. Three times this basic number is 1296,000 years. And this is the measure of Treta Yuga. Four times the Kali Yuga, that is 1728,000 years, refers to Krita Yuga. Now by adding all this, we get, Baba said, 4320,000 years, that is 4.3 million years, and this refers to one Mahayuga. After a Mahayuga, the Krita Yuga will start again. In this manner, by assigning such measures, Baba said they interpreted time. Moving on to the next word, avatar, which means incarnation of God. In the same discourse of 1978, after explaining the concept of Yuga, Baba went on to add how God comes down to earth from time to time during every Yuga, and he said, from time to time in these Yugas, God appears as an avatar for the purpose of showing the divinity that is contained in every human being, and also for setting an exemplary life. As an example, God takes a human form so that he is accessible to human beings so that he can give them happiness. In the same discourse, Baba continued, it is not necessary to think that Rama belongs to the Trita Yuga alone and that he is the son of Dasharatha and Kausalya. Our Puranas, our scriptures have taught us that what gives us bliss is the aspect of Rama. Rama is that which gives us bliss. We should not think that the avatar of Rama or Krishna is confined to the Dwapara Yuga or the Treta Yuga. They come always in all the Yugas and help humanity. After this Kali Yuga, there will be another Mahayuga, and the Dwapara Yuga and Treta Yuga will repeat themselves and the aspects of Rama and Krishna will come again. This is what Bhagwan revealed in a summer course discourse in 1978. And that explains Yuga and avatar, some aspects of it. The third word in this line is Baba, which our beloved Swami has interpreted in so many ways. One meaning is father, but another very profound meaning, as Baba said, B-A-B-A, being awareness, bliss, Atman. Thus the phrase Yugavatar Baba refers to our beloved Bhagwan, who is indeed the incomparable avatar who has appeared and will appear during every Yuga to redeem humanity. And the fourth word in this line is Shri, which is a term used in Sanskrit as a mark of respect when addressing anyone. And the fifth word in this line is Satya, which means supreme truth. And the last word, Sai, which we are all familiar with. So in this line, Yuga Avatar Baba, Shri Satya Sai, we glorify the divine master Sai, who is verily the supreme embodiment of truth. He is the one who comes down during every age as an incarnation for the sole purpose of elevating humanity to divine heights. With that, dear listeners, we have done with understanding the meaning of all the lines in this bhajan. And now, in the penultimate part of this classroom, let us sing this bhajan once again, but with a deep sense of awe, reverence and love for the Almighty Divine. I will now play for you the full version of this bhajan as it is sung in the Prashantanilaya Mandir by the students of Bhagwan's University. And as you enjoy this, please do sing along.
Antarang Sai, Anath Nath Sai. Dinabandhu Sai, Karuna Sindhu Sai. Dinabandhu Sai, Karuna Sindhu Sai. Antarang Sai, Anath Nath Sai. Krishna Shiva Shakti Prema Rupa Sai. Krishna Shiva Shakti Prema Rupa Sai. Avatar Baba Shri Satya Sai. Yuga Avatar Baba Shri Satya Sai. Antarang Sai, Anath Nath Sai. Dinabandhu Sai, Karuna Sindhu Sai. Antarang Sai, Anath Nath Sai. Rama Krishna Shiva Shakti Prema Rupa Sai. Yuga Avatar Baba Shri Satya Sai. Yuga Avatar Baba Shri Satya Sai. Antarang Sai, Anath Nath Sai.
And now in the last part of this program, we will hear, as promised earlier, an excerpt of a conversation I had with Mr. M.S. Prakash Rao, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan, who has been involved in cultural activities of the Sai organization very deeply and very beautifully. He has staged nearly 40 dramas in the Divine Presence, composed many songs, written many scripts, and today, let's listen to what he has to share about bhajan singing.
And to make a bhajan successful, the most important responsibility lies on the bhajan leader. So, if the bhajan leader wants to know his responsibility and follow it faithfully, he must know, first of all, why people attend bhajan. You see, people never attend a bhajan for passing their time. They don't casually attend a bhajan. They attend a bhajan with lot of hopes. That is, people attend bhajan to forget their sorrows and tears. People attend bhajan to get relieved of their hardships and to have mental peace and to find solution to their problems. And people attend bhajan with a hope that their desires will be fulfilled and to enjoy bliss and to have spiritual experience. People also attend for blossoming of the human values in their heart. And finally, their ultimate hope is to have the divine vision of their chosen deity.
you have a range of reasons why people attend bhajan.
Yes,
somebody
correct.
Comes just to get rid of the worries and anxieties. On the other end of the spectrum, you have someone who comes to have the vision of God.
Correct.
So you have all kinds of people at various levels of their spiritual evolution and various levels of what they're going through in life and
yes,
how
sir.
Life is treating them. And a bhajan should cater to everyone.
Yes.
And a bhajan leader, as you mentioned, should be cognizant of this fact.
Yes. He must be knowing all these things.
He must know why people are coming.
He must be conscious of all these things. He should not think, a bhajan leader should not think that people attend bhajan just to have some spiritual exercise. No. With great hopes, they come to the bhajan.
They spare their time,
yes.
energy and come with great expectation.
Greatest expectations.
Yes.
Yes. And when you attend a bhajan or when you conduct a bhajan for quite some time, then what will you know out of that? Having a bhajan experience, what will you know? What is the benefit of the bhajan for you? That means you will know by experience that namasmarana is the easiest sadhana for salvation. By participating in namasankirtana, one will shed differences and achieve unity in thought from which divine force will emerge. I tell you one very important example. People attend bhajan. Now, lot of Sai devotees together participate in lot of seva activities. Unity in thought, sparing all their time and thinking they are doing Bhagavan's service. They are participating in service activities in various fields. That means they have shed their differences. Their unity in thought is achieved by the bhajan. And Bhagavan said, the electromagnetic waves generated from the sankirtana engulf the entire atmosphere, purify it and develop qualities such as faith, bhakti, sacrifice and selfless service in the people. That is why people participate.
Power of the collective energy.
Correct.
Vibration.
That is why the Sai devotees today are able to participate in so many activities, service activities particularly, which no other organization is able to do.
You are saying this bhajan is something which is energizing them.
Correct. The energy filled by the bhajan is encouraging them to participate in these activities. That is why every service activities, wherever you go, such as Sai devotees, start with a bhajan.
At various levels it's affecting us.
Yes.
Subconsciously, physiologically.
Correct. And by participating in a bhajan, you will be relieved of your sorrow. I tell you a very good example. I know one of the devotees who is a Sai worker and he had 3 sons. He lost 2 of his sons within a span of 1 year. Any other person would have become mad in such a situation. He lost 2 of grown-up sons. One is a doctor, one is an MBA, and both of them died in a span of 1 year. And what he did, when I personally went to him to console him, what he told, you know, it is runanabandham, it's over. Let me do my service. And from that day onwards, he has participated in the service.
Runanabandham means?
It is attachment.
Okay, it was some karma and
the attachment
over.
Is lost.
It's gone.
All right. And now I am free to do my service. He says, and from the very day he has started participating in service activities and he came to Bhagavan and Bhagavan has blessed him. So, what is that? He has given that courage is participating in regular bhajan activity. He used to, in spite of all his engagements, he used to regularly attend bhajans.
It gives that mental stamina to,
yes.
to withstand the vicissitudes of life.
Correct. Because he knows fully well that bhajan ensures God's protection. When you are in calamity, God will come to your rescue. Bhagavan once said, a devotee asked him, Bhagavan, what is the greatest thing that you bestow on your devotees? Then Bhagavan said, I will give them strength to bear their sorrows and tears. What more can give happiness to a person than forgetting his sorrows and tears? That is the real benefit of a bhajan. That is why bhajan is one of the greatest spiritual sadhanas advocated by Bhagavan.
Once you have that mental strength, even your physical health will be better.
Yes. I have seen so many devotees of Bhagavan who are after name and fame. They are now practicing so much of humility and not caring for their name and fame and participating in the service. Because Bhagavan told very clearly that bhajan can relieve you of the greed for power, name, fame, wealth, knowledge and comforts.
Bhajan can relieve you.
Yes, that is what Bhagavan said. And it will relieve you of your anxiety, fear and hesitation. And very important thing is, Bhagavan said in one of his discourses that God is Ganalola. If you think of greatest devotees like Chagaraya, Mirabai, Purandaradas, how they achieved the grace of the Lord, it's only by Namasmarana. This country has got the greatest tradition. Swami very clearly said that we are following this great tradition, which is established in this country firmly. And another very important thing is that bhajan is the easiest sadhana, which even the poorest of the poor and weakest of the weak can also afford to participate.
Yes, all you need is give little time. Have faith and give little time.
Yes. Therefore, now when bhajan has so many good effects, it is up to the bhajan leaders to make it successful sadhana.
Yes, because they are the most important people as far as the bhajan sadhana is concerned. They are leading.
Many, some of the bhajan singers think that musical knowledge will make them good bhajan leaders. But I disagree with that. Musical knowledge will make them good singers, not good bhajan leaders. Singer is different and bhajan leader is different. Because bhajan leader has got the responsibility of taking the devotees along with you, giving them spiritual experience. A singer just gives happiness to the devotees or to the listeners. He gives only happiness to the listeners. But a bhajan leader takes all the devotees along with him and he leads them on the path of spiritual sadhana to win the grace of the Lord. What a great responsibility.
It's actually a carrier.
Correct. And Bhagavan said very beautifully that bhajan leader is a bridge between God and the devotees. Let the bridge be strong. Then only God and devotees can come together.
Bhajan leader is a bridge. I mean, if every bhajan leader thinks of their self like this,
correct,
it will really change their perspective.
Correct. So, if the bridge is not strong enough, devotees will be denied of the Lord's grace. So, therefore, let us, bhajan leaders, become a strong bridge which can bring God and devotees together and ensure a strong bondage between God and devotees. Many singers and bhajan leaders sing bhajans without realizing this responsibility. See, you have a right to deny bliss to you by not singing the bhajan properly. But you have no right to deny bliss to others, is it not? Therefore, it is the responsibility of every bhajan leader to sing the bhajan sweetly, melodiously, charged with faith, devotion and yearning.
If you have not practiced, you may feel that, okay, today perhaps I will not sing to my satisfaction, but you are not doing disservice to yourself, but you are doing disservice to so many other people.
Therefore, the bhajan leaders should realize some basic principles which they have to follow in the bhajan. Because by God's grace or Bhagavan's grace, they have been given a chance to lead the bhajans. Therefore, let us utilize that role correctly. Let us perform our duty as a bhajan leader perfectly well, so that others also will win the grace of the Lord.
Actually, it's such a fantastic thing. I mean, if you look at it, on one side, if you don't do your duty properly, it is something very sad. But if you do your duty properly, it is such a blessing. You are enabling so many people to actually experience bliss, experience that joy, experience God, just by singing one bhajan properly.
See, in my view, singing of a Sai bhajan with bhava is the most difficult thing.
Most difficult thing.
Yes, than performing a musical concert. It is very easy to perform a musical concert if you have the musical knowledge and proper rhythm and proper shruti and all these things. You can sing. But finally, if you come to Sai bhajan, it should be full of bhava. Bhagavan said once, if there is no bhava, there is no baba. That is what he said once. So, bhava is extremely important. So, what happens, if you want to sing your bhajan properly with bhava, you must know the basics of bhajan. That means, bhajan has three levels. One is, suppose you say, I have a lot of concentration on the bhajan. Then how your concentration is revealed is, if you sing the correct tune to the correct diction and the correct rhythm, then you can say, yes, you have concentration on the bhajan. Then go to the next stage, contemplation. That means, if you feel that you have sung the bhajan properly, and if you feel that the followers and the listeners were also happy following your bhajan, if you can acquire that feeling, then you can say that you have reached the stage of contemplation. And there is one more stage, it is meditation. That is, if the bhajan leader feels the bliss and tears roll down his eyes without being conscious when you sing the bhajan, raga, tala, bhava, every aspect will be in order without any effort, and the followers and the devotees will also enjoy the bliss. That is the stage of meditation.
That is where bhajan really becomes a powerful spiritual sadhana.
Yes. If you know that these stages of concentration, contemplation and meditation in the bhajan, then you will be very, very careful in singing a bhajan, because there are so many aspects, spiritual aspects in the bhajan.
So that was Mr. M.S. Prakash Rao, the spiritual coordinator of the Sri Satya Sai organization Andhra Pradesh, who has conducted bhajan workshops in this state and elsewhere for so many years now. With this, dear listeners, we have come to the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed this program. Please do send in your valuable feedback and suggestions. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org.
Sai Ram, you are listening to an episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This was first aired on November 8, 2012, as a live program on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony as part of our Thursday live programs. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Pishu. Thank you, and Sai Ram.